people. We are here with you. Power belongs to the people. To the people belongs the power. When you go to the polls, don't vote R, don't vote D. Vote for people like AOC. Power to you.
That's Chris Silvera, Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 808, addressing Sunday's march to end fossil fuels in New York City, where some 75,000 protesters took to the streets with their message for world leaders coming to the UN General Assembly this week. But the banner across the rally stage read, "Biden, end fossil fuels." It was the largest U.S. climate mobilization in years. That does it for our show. Special thanks to Laura Bastios and Messiah Rhodes. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Noreen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie
Carroll.
You are
listening to KBOO Portland.
Cheating heart will make you
September 17th is the 100th anniversary of the birth of Hank Williams Sr., one of the finest singer-songwriters this country has ever produced. KBO Swingin' Country is celebrating this event by dedicating an entire broadcast to the music of Hank Williams. Tune in to KBO Swingin' Country on Saturday, September 30th from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. for 3 hours of all things Hank Williams considered. We'll have songs sung by Hank, songs written by Hank, and songs about Hank. You don't want to miss it. Once again, that is Saturday, September 30th, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on KBO.FM or 90.7 FM in the Portland area. Son of a gun, we'll have some fun.
I'm the sweetest one, me, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and the Portland Bureau of Transportation, currently seeking input from those living and working in or who regularly visit the Boise neighborhood about parking issues. Survey responses will help inform a parking management plan for the area. More information at portland.gov/Boise Parking.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and the Urban League of Portland, hosting the Equal Opportunity Dinner Celebration, honoring Black wealth, Black creators, and Black culture, with a special presentation to Rukiah Adams, Thursday, September 28th, at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. More information is available at ulpdx.org.
Good morning and welcome to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. We are broadcasting live. Today is September 18th, 2023. We are broadcasting from Portland. I am Cecil Prescott, and I'm here with my co-host. Oh, that was your cue, Celeste. With my co-host, Celeste Carey.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you today?
Well, I caught slightly off guard by the rain. You know?
What is that? It's sort of like, what happened to summer?
Oh, yeah, summer. About that. the meteorological... autumn is upon us, so there you go. What can I say?
Well, you know, it is the fall, and the fall is the time for new activity, new seasons, and we have the opportunity today to speak with two guests who will tell us about the wonderful opportunities about that are happening in our state. And joining us today from the Urban League of Portland, Nathaniel, who is the, Nathaniel, Young Professional Volunteer Coordinator, and Crystal, who is the event and marketing manager of the Urban League of Portland. And thank you two for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, you know, you said autumn, you know, time of new things. Well, I want to do a slight tilt on your spin here. I would like to call this particular season, because I'm an autumn baby, the time of reaping of a bountiful
harvest?
What? There you go. Thank you. All I could see was bright, beautiful orange and red. Yes, a bountiful harvest of effort. And in this, you know, coming event, the Urban League reasserts itself within the Black community as a networking, bridge-building, collaborating entity. And so there is an event that we are going to promote and celebrate, but I also want to promote and celebrate the Urban League as the outstanding partner, community partner that I mentioned. So I'd like if you two would tell us a little bit about yourselves and your roles in the Urban League here in 2023.
Sure.
You got it, Crystal.
Okay. Cecil, thank you. And Celeste, we are so happy to be here. The Urban League of Portland really does love and appreciate KBOO, and we feel like we share similar missions to empower our communities and change lives. That's our slogan. And so for those of you hearing me for the first time, my name is Crystal Mathis. I work as the events and marketing manager for the Urban League of Portland. And we have something to the tune of 20-plus events a month, from feeding folks to providing housing to giving resources as they relate to career and education, and just really making sure that our community feels the support that we're able to give. And that's our whole mission and our mantra. So it's important for us to kind of do that. And that's basically what I do at the League, just make sure that we're reaching our community in that way.
Great. And Nathaniel, tell us about what you do.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Like I said, I'm Nathaniel Hamlet, the Young Professionals Volunteer Coordinator, and I've been fortunate enough to work for the Urban League of Portland for about a year now. My job is multifaceted, but principally, I'm in charge of our Young Professionals Volunteer Auxiliary Group, and that serves to bring together young folk and people young at heart in community, professional development, networking, and social opportunities, because it's always important, especially in a city like Portland, for Black folks and other to have community and be able to come together in spaces that are comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm. So Young Professionals, that's an interesting title, and I noticed in doing my research, it's not just young people, but young at heart as well.
Indeed.
This seems to be a slightly fresh take on the past Urban League structure in terms of doing outreach and development. Can you talk a little bit more about this effort, the Young Professionals?
Yeah. So during the pandemic, I think we all felt that a lot of programs and the way of life kind of fell to the wayside. We weren't keeping up with all of our normal routines. And so I've been charged with revitalizing that program. And there's no dearth of Black professionals here in Portland, whether it's people who are coming to our state or the homegrown talent that is that are in positions, high positions here. And so it's really important not only to bring Black folk and other together, but to have them work towards the Urban League mission, which is advantageous for all of us. It's the Urban League for all of us for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. And perhaps we should take a step back.
Sure.
and maybe give a little introduction to the Urban League. What is the Urban League? Its history, and why is it here now?
Well, the Urban League is a nonprofit organization that is here in Portland and exists in Portland to ensure that Black folks have accessibility to things that will make our lives better. And so we wrap around mm-hmm. and support community members in a variety of ways, again, from housing to education, providing those resources for our youth in summer camps, just filling in the gaps when we think about single parents, when we think about our seniors, mm-hmm. when we think about the support that we need to have whole lives and to feel a part of this society and the community. That is what the Urban League stands for and exists to do. We are one of 91 plus affiliates across the country doing this work. And we all have a little bit of a different mission, but the Urban League has decided to take on a range of activities and provide a long list of services in order to accomplish the mission. We got started here in this area in 1945, directly in relation to the shipyards and making sure that folks, black folks, could work safely in this part of the country. And we've grown since then as it relates to our services and outreach.
I think Crystal is exactly right. And I just want to emphasize that the Urban League of Portland is at one of its strongest points in our history. We have over 150 employees, and under the stewardship of President Nkenge Harman-Johnson, the league is extremely powerful. It's a force in every room that we're in.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil. I'm here with Celeste, and we are speaking with Nathaniel and Crystal, representatives of the Urban League of Portland. And we are pleased to have them here to tell us about the Urban League of Portland, its activities, and how we will get into it, how people may participate in the Urban League. Crystal, you gave such a range of activities of the Urban League. And so maybe I don't know if you know by heart, like the Urban League mission statement, and then
and just a little bit about the kind of services you have, and yeah. and just to kind of get you started, years ago, a friend of mine and myself, and when I say years ago, I mean like, you know, actually lots of years ago, a couple of decades, we took some classes in computer refreshing classes. And it was a lot of help for so many people. I've run into some of the colleagues that I had in that classes in various positions, working for housing, working in politics, working in community economics. And even though we had other skills and talents, we had a chance to polish them by taking these computer refreshment courses at the Urban League. So I know you have deep roots in providing community service of many kinds.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Celeste. And what our president likes to say is we're about 7 nonprofit organizations.
That would be about right.
Wrapped into one. So for you to be able to take a continuing education course is right in line with the Urban League. And what we do is we don't discriminate. So you can take a continuing education course through the Urban League, but also our youth, they meet with us every summer. And they are with us every summer learning skills that they need in between school. The other thing, we love to provide not just education for our youth, but we provide education for our seniors. Yep. So the Urban League wants to fill in those gaps and be a super supportive and be a resource to our community at whatever level they're at. I think oftentimes we think the Urban League only serves a certain group of people, but we want to serve all folks. We provide education and resources for budding entrepreneurs through our entrepreneurship department. We provide resources for folks looking to go back into the workforce through our resume writing courses. So well, we can go on and on about the type of services that the Urban League provides, but I think the best way to think about it is when you think about a staff of 150 plus, 7 different departments within that one nonprofit, pretty much anything you need, you could probably get from the Urban League of Portland.
And if I want to find out about the Urban League, how do I reach them?
Yeah, check out our website, ulpdx.org, and we have a series of events page, news page, who we are, how to get involved, because as we've alluded to, we are everywhere. We're doing what we can in terms of providing wraparound resources to people here in Portland. And it's incredibly important for everyone to try and participate with us. So if you can afford a membership and try and engage with us, or if you have time and can volunteer, the Urban League of Portland welcomes you with open arms.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland.
91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge. And if you're in Point South along the Willamette River Valley, that's 104.3. And www.kboo.fm everywhere else.
Excellent. And, you know, talking about everywhere else, and we're talking about the Urban League of Portland. Crystal and Nathaniel just told me they just got back from Pendleton.
So yes, I saw that.
Did you see that all over our social media?
Yes, I did.
Oh my, if you're listening to us, please be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and I guess Twitter, or now X, however we're calling that platform. We are in all of those spaces, but we did just come back from Pendleton for the roundup. And we had the time of our lives.
Oh,
we
my goodness, you all look like you rocked it.
We took close to 40 people. Pendleton was the blackest it's ever been. Mm-hmm. We took our seniors. We took program participants. We took young professionals such as Nathaniel and others. We took some of our leadership staff. Yep. Reporters met us there to cover the story. But essentially, we wanted to really give an experience to folks that they have never experienced before. The culture of rodeo, the diversity that lies within, the way the Native community works together to pull that off.
It is absolutely the black roots in rodeo.
100%.
Yes. And so, see, I grew up in the Midwest. I know about that.
yeah. I mean, one of the big ideas going into the trip was placemaking. Because as you alluded to, black people have existed in rural spaces time immemorial. And so it was really important for us to, like Crystal said, see us there and for us to remind them that that's part of our history as well. I believe I heard a wonderful statistic that 25% of cowboys were black and Latinx. And who knows that? I feel like we're not in the Westerns. So it's good to remind people that Pendleton is a space for everyone.
And I think it's, you know, talking about the history of this region and the history of the Urban League of Portland and, you know, that history of, you know, the city leaders coming to the Urban League folks and saying, okay, all these black folks are here.
Yeah.
The war is over. You know,
get them out of here.
And leave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only is there black presence in Portland that needs to be celebrated and acknowledged, but also throughout the state, in Eastern Oregon as well. So it was great to see about your trip to Pendleton and for many, the uncovering of a past that's important.
I think one of the things that I forgot to mention is the breadth of the Urban League of Portland. We're one of the few affiliates across the country that serves not only Portland, but the entire state in Southwest Washington. And so, like you said, Pendleton is just one facet of a statewide and Southwest Washington included mission to support people who need help.
Well, it's a great example of not only networking and ally building, but exposing people to all of the depth and breadth of not only Oregon life and cultural community, but to, like you said, to show black people how we do have a significant foundational position in this nation.
Yeah, and not only were we appreciating and reminding people, we were creating history. This was our sixth consecutive year going to Pendleton, which I think is just amazing. And we did it bigger than ever.
And the other thing, too, you know, we definitely are there to show visibility. We are definitely there to network. But one of the things that I thought was fascinating, even in 2023, we kind of serve as an escort. There are so many people who want to attend, so many folks of color and others who want to attend the Pendleton Roundup, but they're not sure if this is a safe space for them. And they're into rodeo, they love the culture, but should I be in Pendleton? And the Urban League of Portland is here to say absolutely. The Pendleton Roundup is one of the, it is the largest, yeah. Excuse me, it is the largest outdoor rodeo in the world. And so there's so many people who want to land on that city during that time, but they want to be safe. And so when the Urban League comes, mm-hmm. we know that Black folks and others can attend Pendleton safely. And that's important. We read history of incredible Black cowboys and yes. Athletes in the rodeo mm-hmm. who they themselves were not feeling comfortable to go to Pendleton and compete without an escort. So the Urban League of Portland is here to do that as well.
You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO, Portland. We will give you the phone number so you can check in, because in a moment we're going to unveil some upcoming events.
Yes, we will not take phone calls this morning.
Oh, okay.
But we will have the opportunity to learn more about the event of the Urban League. And talking about the event of the Urban League, and for those of you who are listening, we are in two different rooms.
Yes.
Communicating with smoke signals,
semaphore, and the Morse code.
Indeed.
Because I thought I heard a dot, dot, dash, dash. Well, you know, before we do get into that event, I do want to take another little side journey here to talk about something that's really important. And one of the reasons I want to make sure I mention this is not only does it provide a broad view of what the Urban League has done in Oregon, but how other opportunities, facilities, networking, and the lack thereof affects Black Oregonians. And as a former city employee and one who has sat on a few community and governmental efforts, I reference from time to time the State of Black Oregon report. And even though the most recent one was in 2015, it is still an important not just visual, but a piece of information in terms of why organizations like the Urban League are very important, not just to the well-being of Black Oregonians, but really to Oregon's well-being as a community. And if you do visit their website, which is ulpdx.org, you'll find and the section that has their annual reports under the board of directors, the annual report, State of Black Oregon report as well. And I would ask people to take a moment and read that, and you can understand why it's important to have an advocacy organization like the Urban League.
Yeah. It's funny. As soon as I came on to the Urban League of Portland, President Harmon Johnson made sure that I read the State of Black Oregon mm-hmm. report, just because, as you said, it's a bounty of information that defines kind of the status quo of Portland. And as you said, though it was published in 2015, a lot of the problems in there are prescient even to this day.
Yes.
So I also second, I highly recommend people take the time and check it out, and I think it'll leave you a more informed and more educated person.
To be a better informed, more well-educated person, it's necessary to, as you suggested earlier, to do a lot of things. And what does it mean to be able to get educated, to find a job, to mm-hmm. acquire the skills that's necessary. And the Urban League has been doing that for almost 80 years here in this region. And it's something to celebrate,
isn't it? It really is.
It's something to celebrate. And there's going to be a celebration coming up soon.
Indeed.
And why don't you just tell us a little bit about that.
Give me a little bit about it. Absolutely. You know, we are thrilled that this year's Equal Opportunity Dinner is in person for the first time since 2019. We have been virtual for a few years now. And so on September 28th at 5 o'clock, we'll meet at the Oregon Convention Center this year for the Equal Opportunity Dinner celebration. The success, this is our flagship fundraising event, and the success of this event fuels our ability to expand our programs and impact and improve lives. And what we're going to do that night is have some drinks and have some incredible food. We are going to celebrate our theme, which is honoring Black wealth, Black culture, and Black creators. And we're going to honor the incredible Rekhaya Adams, the CEO of the 1803 Fund. So it's going to be a great night of connecting, resetting, and getting ready for the new year, but really looking at some of the things that we've accomplished in the past 12 months and celebrating them together with our donors, with our program participants, with our staff. Everybody will be in the building, and we're really excited about it.
And talking about everyone being in the building, I mean, there's quite a diversity of individuals and ages and experiences. It ought to be a place that anyone should be. To meet people, to gather.
Yeah, I've been telling my friend circle, this is the place to be. Obviously, you can get tickets at our website, ulpdx.org. You can sponsor, you can buy individual tickets. We've got incredible sponsors from Fred Meyers. I mean, everybody wants to be a part of this event,
right.
And sponsoring is a great way to get in the room and create some visibility for your brand. But we're going to have our program participants from the Jami Center, from the Hattie Redmond, which is our affordable housing unit that housed 60 folks. We celebrated the grand opening of that this year in April. And so we'll have some folks speaking about their experience transitioning from houselessness to having somewhere to stay and having a place to stay that has those Urban League of Portland wraparound supports services on site, which is a unique model. But we're going to celebrate all of that this year at this dinner. So everybody is welcome, from sponsors to members, board members, staff. We want to see everybody in the building.
Crystal's exactly right. And I just want to say that this is a legacy event. Going back to 1961, the only time that Martin Luther King ever came to Portland, it was for an Equal Opportunity Dinner. And I think the ticket prices have changed a little bit, but there's history to this. And we're so, so pleased to be able to honor Rekhaya Adams, who's a fellow Catlin Gable alumni. I got to shout that out. And the fantastic, fantastic work that she's doing here in Portland.
Well, I understand that she did work for one of the largest trust organizations here.
Yeah, the Meyer Memorial Trust.
So the recognition of her is not only celebrating the partnerships that the Urban League makes, but as you said earlier in the interview, there's no dearth of Black talent.
Yeah.
Right.
Rekhaya Adams, excuse me, is the first Black woman to manage a $1 billion fund. And she is an extremely, extremely accomplished woman and at every turn has attempted to give back to Portland. And so she embodies the ethos of the Urban League of Portland and how we try and give back.
Absolutely. Rekhaya Adams, her work is lockstep in the values that we share. And so when President Nkenge chose her as an honoree, we were all thrilled as an organization. We've all been fangirling over her. We've been watching tech talks just to refresh ourselves on what she's done for the community of Portland as a whole. But we honor her, like Nathaniel said, she is our Martin Luther King of this day. And so we're excited to have her speak and impart on us the things that she's been doing and that she plans to do, and to have us have some leadership too in that space where we can follow along. I'm excited to see the economic growth that's going to happen based on the decisions of Rekhaya Adams and her team. And I'm excited that we're going to get an insight a little taste at this gala, at this dinner. And I think that when you understand the caliber of this honoree, mm-hmm. it makes absolutely no sense for you to not be there on September 28th. It's almost a must. Yeah. We should be turning people away. And truth be told, we're pretty much already sold out. But I'd love to have a problem where we need to open up another ballroom.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. That would be wonderful. So this is not only an opportunity to network, but to also support an agency and organization that has deep roots in Portland and Oregon. But it sounds like it's going to be a place to be seen.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The photographers will be there. The videographers will be there. The reporters will be there. But most importantly, your colleagues who support your same missions of empowering Black folks and others, changing lives, providing resources, they will be in the building. And there's something like being around like-minded individuals who want to do the same things to better this world like you do.
And you already know we'll be dressed to the nines. So come looking fly, y'all.
That's why I said be seen.
Exactly.
Just to be clear.
Well, thank you, Nathaniel. Well, okay. It is the Urban League of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And people will be appropriately attired.
Indeed.
This isn't the Pendleton Roundup.
We had our cowboy hats, we had our boots, we had our belt buckles. I mean, the fashion is different, but the fashion
but
is there's definitely
dress
there.
Wear. Yes, Western dress wear.
Yes.
So
yes.
If you lean in that direction, please come and shine.
Okay.
As Nathaniel said, dress to the nines.
Dress to the nines.
That's right.
And part of it is that there be a wide variety of people and interests and communities involved. And why I think an event like this is so important, there are few opportunities when communities gather. And oftentimes, the communities, we gather in moments of tragedy, moments of grief. And this is an opportunity where we can celebrate Black joy,
excellence. Accomplishment,
yes.
Exactly, yeah.
And you know, I know sometimes people say, well, what's all this about being Black, and then Black this and Black that? Well, you know, the truth is, it's not that it's an absence of celebrating anyone.
Right.
It is the addition of celebrating someone who doesn't necessarily get the celebration deserved.
Yeah, 100%. And as y'all alluded to earlier, again, it's not only Black joy and Black excellence, but it's specifically all the things that the Urban League of Portland has done in the past year. We are extremely, extremely proud of this past year, and we're hoping to usher in a new one with this EOD annual celebration.
Well, now, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire for just a second here. Besides the fact that you just took people to Pendleton for some cultural expansion, what are some of the other accomplishments? Let's toot your horn a little bit more.
Oh, you know, we love to, first of all, Celeste, we love tooting our own horn. Some of the things that we've done this year, we've done our resource fairs. We've done them in spring and summer and fall. We're getting ready for the winter resource fair.
Yeah.
The last resource fair we had, which would have been the fall resource fair, we had over 1,000 folks attend. We gave away to the tune of 600 plus book bags. We fed folks. And of course, we tabled our own event to provide resources, let folks know that we're hiring, let them know that where they can find food if needed, housing resources, rental assistance, issues with your landlord. We provide those resource fairs quarterly. So we're getting ready for the next one. Another thing that we did, and I mentioned it earlier, is we had the grand opening celebration for the Hattie Redmond Building, which is our permanent supportive housing that housed 60 folks who used to be houseless. And so when we think about fighting homelessness or helping to make that not such a huge issue, the Urban League has really figured out a model that works. And houselessness is a hot topic. in our news and in our politics, and folks seem to not know what to do. Well, Urban League has a model that is working, and so that's something to celebrate and look at. We opened the Diane Wade facility as well, which is specifically for women. And then we celebrated, the JAMI Center celebrated 3 years just about a month ago, and the JAMI Center is a transitional housing. We do not create shelters here at the Urban League. We put people in housing. We give them what they need. They need a place to stay, and once you have a place to stay, then you can have a conversation about other things, how to get a job, and so on and so forth. So we are celebrating housing. We are celebrating our summer youth camp. We're excited. We brought comic books to them, and AI and ChatGPT, and just really cool things that they may not traditionally get in school and classroom. And even if they do, we're continuing that education throughout the summer. And so we have been putting out programs all year long that we now get an opportunity to celebrate. And that's just some of them.
Yeah. And Crystal's exactly right. And we could honestly spend the whole rest of this interview talking about some of our accomplishments. But I do just want to put a spotlight on our advocacy and civic engagement
Thank
department.
You, because I was going to bring that up. Yes, please
yeah,
do.
So under the fantastic stewardship of Director Jennifer Parrish Taylor, we have paid lobbyists who spend their time talking to legislators on your behalf. So whether it's trying to increase accessibility of becoming a legislator by increasing legislator pay, or it's bringing kids down to Salem to talk with legislators to talk about tobacco products, or even bringing some of our program participants to discuss the need for culturally specific housing funds. Our advocacy is paramount to what we do, and we exist in those rooms on y'all's behalf.
Absolutely. That's powerful.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, in the last, 30 minutes, we've just uncovered just a wealth of information. And Nathaniel just spewed off, something this past year, any one of which could be a topic of a 45-minute conversation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And earlier, you both mentioned in terms of the depth and the diversity of activity that the Urban League is involved in. Any one of them can be enough. So the Urban League continues to play a unique role in our community. And why do you think it is important for people to continue to support the Urban League of Portland?
I think it's important to note that all of these accomplishments, all of these things that we do can't be done alone. So whether it's going on our page and getting involved with us through maybe a job that we have available, or spending your time to volunteer with some of our children, or donating to us, or becoming a member, these things help us support the community. And I can't think of a better use of your time, your hard-earned money, than supporting people vicariously through the Urban League of Portland.
And, I would add to that, simply put, racism still exists. And because racism still exists, we must exist.
Yeah.
We help level the playing field. Redlining is still a thing.
Yeah.
Equal pay is still something we're discussing. Rights of folks who identify however they identify that may be different from mainstream, we still have to advocate for them. And so because of that, it's important that you support the Urban League of Portland. When we are putting together food boxes, we'd love to have volunteers from the community. We'd love to have donations from your favorite grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit on the board of whatever your grocery store is, let us know how you can support. We shouldn't actually have to even call you. You should know enough about racism and the fight for equality in this country that you call the Urban League and fill in the gaps on your own. So we exist because racism still exists. And then you can get in this fight, this good fight with us, by becoming a member, by donating money, by donating time, and all of that information on how to do that is on our website at ulpdx.org.
Well said.
Well, just to pick out a program that sure is near and dear to people's hearts, it's food and food insecurity. And for example, if you wanted to be involved in the Urban League and you had some of the resources you just mentioned, Crystal, you could sponsor shelter meals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's an easy lift. It is not a hard lift. And not only are you able to feed people and keep them from being hungry, which is sometimes, it's sad to say, it contributes to crime. It's just simple hunger.
Yeah.
You keep a person productive because you keep them fed and you keep them optimistic. And we know that hope is a bedrock to forming strong and resilient communities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Celeste, you mentioned it earlier, the bountiful harvest of this fall season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to realize that it's a difficult time for others, though. The weather gets colder, Thanksgiving comes, and yeah, take the time out to support your fellow Oregonians and make sure it's bountiful for everyone.
I love that, Nathaniel. Such a good and humble reminder. As folks get ready for the holiday season, other folks are preparing for cold.
Mm-hmm.
We have an event coming up, Feed the Folks.
Yeah.
We're going to do that in both Salem and in Portland. I highly suggest get involved with that. Whether you're donating food or you're on the front lines with us helping pass that out, there are folks who are trying to figure out how they will survive this holiday season. And it's a humble reminder that we need each other.
And I just want to flag Feed the Folks November 14th and 16th, respectively, in Salem and Portland.
Oh, great. Great.
Love
that's
that.
An opportunity for people to
up.
Be involved. And we know that our broadcast reaches Salem.
Yeah.
So anybody in the Salem, Albany, Corvallis area listening on 104.3 FM, this is an opportunity to get involved in your community and serve maybe in a different way than you've ever served before, or maybe to continue, you know, being that stalwart support of community. So I noticed, though, on visiting your website that you have, in addition to the Equal Opportunity Dinner Celebration, a small business loans and grants opportunity. Now, this sounds like something maybe on a smaller level, but similar to what the Meyer Memorial Trust does. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, what I'd say, and going back to something Cecil brought up just a second ago, we literally should have each department on KBOO to talk directly about the programs and services they offer, because what you see on the website sometimes is just a snapshot.
Yes.
But the workforce and education department, they have been really coming up with some cool and impactful initiatives for budding entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they started out, I think they started out with professional photo shoots, really going to the basics all the way up to loans and funding. They recently did an event at the Team Center, yeah. Shout out to the Team Center, Black-owned facility, where they had a panel talking to business owners about how to scale and grow their business. So this is just the next step along their journey. Okay, now that you know how to scale and build a team and you got your pictures and you figured out your branding, let's figure out how to get you some funding and get loans. Those program participants are super, super close to their director, Christopher Banks, and their manager, Elisa. They are doing an incredible job of really using entrepreneurship to impact our community in a positive way. And so I would highly encourage you to go to that website, ulpdx.org, and connect with Elisa and Christopher Banks and their team over there to get more information on loans and grants for entrepreneurs.
You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. I am Cecil. I'm here with my co-host Celeste, and we are speaking with Crystal and Nathaniel from the Urban League of Portland, who are talking about this the social service agency and the depth and wealth of activities. And gee, you know, it's a lot that you all do, but there's a lot of needs in the community. And like you suggested, Crystal, any one of your program can talk for a long time about what they're doing. But I think it's a testimony to the Urban League's mission and desire to be there for the community throughout mm-hmm. one's life.
Yeah. Yes. Holistically, for sure. And I think that's one of the key messages of what Crystal just said, whether it is providing housing through the JAMI Center, or it's small business empowerment or financial empowerment, advocacy, we try and help people at every step of their journey.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm thinking about some of the programs and services we haven't touched on. Two come to mind right away, but I'll start with the seniors.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Senior Center. That's one of my favorites, too.
The Senior Center is incredible. You know, I was telling Nathaniel the other day, I was raised in a single-parent household, and my grandmother was a huge part of my upbringing. Yeah. And I love how the Urban League of Portland supports our older adults for that reason. And so we have the Senior Center where they have activities, games, bingo, spades. They throw events from pancake breakfasts to ice cream socials. And then we give them resources too, how to take care of yourself at this age, how to eat for whatever you may be going through at this time in your life. And so not just fun, but definitely fun. The seniors go to the coast, yeah. They travel, they go to the casinos, all courtesy of the Urban League of Portland. And it's important that we take care of our older adults in our community. And if you're an older adult and you're listening to this, the Senior Center welcomes you. And again, that information is on our website. But we want you to know that we're here from you, not just for summer camp, but all the way up into your golden years.
And speaking of older adults, I just want to shout out Senator Margaret Carter, who came with us to Pendleton and is the Urban League of Portland's forever companion as a former president herself. Whether it's her coming down with us to Pendleton or supporting us at events, the Urban League of Portland is a legacy institution, and we love to appreciate our history. So shout out Senator Margaret Carter.
It was so powerful, Nathaniel, for the Honorable Margaret Carter to be there, thinking about how she served this community, right? as a former CEO of the Urban League of Portland, and how now we get to serve her. We drove her and her friends around. Yeah. We made sure that they were accommodated fully, and got a chance to hear some of her stories. Yeah. Got a chance to feel her energy. She was in the parade with us on the wagon drawn by horses. Mm-hmm. And she was just screaming out, the Urban League of Portland loves you. Her energy, I think she's turning 88 here in a day or so, but her energy was that of a 28-year-old, because when you are changing lives and empowering communities, that feeds your soul.
Yes, it does. That's right? Just what I was going to say.
Yeah. And we can see it clear as day on her.
Uh-huh. Great.
And that's it was beautiful.
You know, I want to do something really quick. Speaking of shout outs, I want to have a shout out to empower people who might be low tech. Because we talk about going to your website a lot, and not everybody has that capacity. So the first thing I want to do is, although I am speaking about other ways, first the URL for the Urban League is ulpdx@ulpdx.org. However, if that's not your strength, if you don't have computer access, 503-280-2600 is the phone number to connect, to find out ways that you can either be plugged in for services or plug yourself in as a resource.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much. And not quite yet, but I think in the near future, we're going to be opening up our office again on North Russell. So keep an eye out for that. And
that's a historic building there.
It is. Walk by, see all the wonderful black faces on the facade. But yeah, keep your eye out for that, and that'll be a hub for community resources going forward.
And so once again, in case you didn't have a writing implement, it's 503-280-2600. That's 503-280-2600.
So don't say we didn't say it, y'all.
Yeah.
One of the unique things about the Urban League in terms of its history was its desire to build partnership with businesses. in terms of uplifting the black community. It was important historically to have access to businesses, accesses to loans, and access to opportunities. And so that's been a very important part in terms of training, in terms of young entrepreneurs or older entrepreneurs, and in terms of building strong relationships and also addressing issues in the community. I think Nathaniel mentioned lobbying and Salem. What are some things that either the Urban League is doing in business, working with the business community, and or working with our politicians either on the city level or on the state level?
That's a good question. And I think the way I would want to start with this is when we think about our Equal Opportunity Dinner Celebration that's coming up on September 28th, we were intentional about hiring black folks to help us pull this off, black folks and others, honestly. But when we think about our photographers, Antonio Harris, Supreme Optics, when we think about the African dance troupe that will open up this program, Sebi Khan Youth African Dance Troupe, we were intentional about getting Chadwick and the God Sisters to sing for us at this event. We started thinking about how can we empower our vendors? How can we ensure that the folks who serve us at EOD are the folks that are going to go out and donate, are the same folks that are going to go out and volunteer, are the same folks that are going to support our missions and our initiatives? That was very, very important to us. So we love to hire black-owned businesses to help us with our events. I think about Small and Mighty, who does a lot of our balloons. You know, I think about Southern Kitchen, who catered our staff appreciation luncheon.
Mississippi Chef.
Mississippi Chef, who we love. She's so delightful. So I think about that. We start right there with giving opportunity where they may not have gotten them before. And this matters to her. We think about Mystic Faces, who does our face painting. These are all businesses who we love to support because we know they're going to support us back as well.
Not to mention the braid out that we just had, where we paid community members to take the time to get kids right for school and braid their hair. But to the other part of your question, what are we doing in terms of working with legislators? August 23rd, I believe, we just had our legislative debrief from this past long session. And we were fortunate enough to be able to honor Travis Nelson with our Freshman of the Year Award. We ushered in our Midge Purcell Award, speaking of history there.
Midge Purcell is an old friend of ours and used to help us produce More Talk Radio.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I saw her picture on your website.
Yeah. Or even going to education when it comes to city charter reform. We are constantly engaging with the politics here in Oregon. And even if you're not always hearing about it, we're speaking with the governor or we're in Salem. So, yeah.
How can people get involved in that? Because when you mentioned earlier advocacy and then building up a succession of people to be involved in civic and government life. How can people get plugged in of that if that's particularly their passion?
Yeah, so you can email volunteer at ulpdx.org or go on our website, and under our Young Professionals page, you'll see my contact information. And as I alluded to earlier, we love bringing people to speak with legislators because fundamentally what we do is for us and for you, and people need to hear our stories. So whether energy justice is important to you, whether tobacco cessation is important to you, whether housing funds and homelessness is important to you, we have a myriad of ways to get involved. So contact me personally if you want, or you can email us at volunteer@ulpdx.org.
And if you were listening, Nathaniel just listed like four or five things, like just off the top, and like, wow, yeah, I could do that, or oh no, that is, it certainly seems to be a place of activity, but a place in which people are able to connect and create change together.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we didn't mention is that Nathaniel is a young professional. So not only can you become a member of the Urban League of Portland, you could become a young professional with Nathaniel and really get in there and pound the pavement with him, doing everything from events to advocacy work. I think you guys took a group of folks up to Salem during the session.
We did.
So Nathaniel's the person to know.
I don't know about all that.
If you're looking to be professional and really change lives and be impactful, Nathaniel is definitely the person to connect with.
Yeah, thank you so much, Crystal. We're really excited about the Young Professionals Program. We're finalizing our calendar for the 23-24 year, excuse me. We have a couple parties coming up. On our website, we have a Young Professionals page, uopdx.org. Highly encourage you to check it out. Contact me if you want to get interested. And there's a link on our website for membership as well.
And if people are wanting to email you, they can find you at nhamlet@ulpdx.org. And you want to spell your handle on there?
Oh, would you say that one more time? I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll spell it because I got it.
I can spell my name.
I meant your email handle.
Yeah. nhamlett @ulpdx.org. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Well, so as we get ready to wrap up here, one thing I want to do is just give you another chance to talk about the importance of coming to this upcoming event.
Listen, the Equal Opportunity Dinner Celebration is going to be an inspiring night. It's an annual celebration for us. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate how far we've come since 1945, and more specifically, what we've accomplished over the last 12 months. We are going to definitely highlight Black wealth, Black creators, and Black culture. We will honor the incredible Rekaya Adams, the CEO of the 1803 Fund. We will have the singing of the national anthem. It'll be culture on top of Black national anthem. But most importantly, the folks who think like you, the folks who want to inspire change and be change agents, will be in that room at the Oregon Convention Center on September 28th at 5:00. We'll start with a cocktail reception, a VIP sponsor lounge, and then we'll go right into dinner and the main activities of the night. It is something to see. You will not want to miss this. And as Nathaniel said, we will be dressed to the nines.
Yes, so dress to impress is the phrase.
Yes.
So for those of you who may not be familiar with the Portland layout, the Oregon Convention Center is at 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in Portland. And if I'm understanding correctly, if you're part of a business or organization, you can sponsor a table. Is that right?
Absolutely. We welcome your sponsorship. You can buy an individual seat, but we'd love for you to buy a table if you can get it. Mm-hmm. Email us directly to tell us that you have those intentions so we can start making accommodations now. We are pretty much sold out, but we don't want anybody to miss the opportunity. So let us know right away if you intend to go. And I suggest you come and bring a plus one.
Okay. Well, what if I'm just a working class person and I don't make a whole lot an hour, but I want to come and learn more about how I volunteer? Can I afford it?
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind is that we have something to the tune of 20 events per month. Mm-hmm. There's always something for somebody at every different price point and location that works for you. This particular event is our annual fundraiser. So we're using this to raise funds, and these monies help to help us to do the work, continue to support the mission. So if you find that you can't afford to go to this event, it's a great opportunity to maybe volunteer or get involved or support our winter resource fair, be out there with us in Salem and Portland for Feed the Folks. But this is our fundraiser, and we want to make sure that folks like Nathaniel and myself have programs to reach the community, and this event allows us to do that.
So in that case, I want my friends and associates and listeners to KBOO who have the means to do so to support this. We did talk about a bounty for harvest, but here's the thing. When you're bringing in your sheaves, this is a good place to store some of them.
Absolutely.
Indeed, indeed.
Wow. And I can't stress enough, use your resources. If you sit on the board of a job and you really want to go, encourage your boss to buy a table, encourage them to become a sponsor, encourage, and then tell them you want to be there. You want to be in the building and you want to celebrate with us.
Be creative. Be creative. Hey, thank you so much. We've been talking to Nathaniel and Crystal of the Urban League of Portland. They've been highlighting the tremendous history and work of the Urban League of Portland and inviting you to participate in their Equal Opportunity Dinner September 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, where they will honor Rukaiya Adams. Thank you so much for joining us on Monday morning.
Here on More Talk Radio, yes.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, and recognize this as a resource.
Yeah, fantastic. Maybe we'll be back soon.
We'll definitely be back. And I know the president, President Nikenge Harmon Johnson, will definitely be back.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we want to encourage you to not only stay tuned for the OMO Variety Hour, but go deep here in your support of KBOO Portland. We are your community connection. You can support us by going to our website, www.kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with and requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee will meet twice in September via public video conference. The Finance Committee will meet on Thursday, September 7th at 5:30 p.m. and again Thursday, September 21st at 5:30 p.m. A public link and phone number to attend the virtual meeting can be found at our website at KBOO-FM. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in this Monday at 11 p.m. as Gremlin Time presents a special presentation of Walt Curtis reading the works of Jack London.
In the course of my